Welcome back to the Right Weed Podcast. I'm Asad. You can find me at AsadNBA on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my three co-hosts, starting on my left.
I'm starting first today. It's Mike. My name is Will. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bias Houston.
My name is Isaiah. You can find me on Twitter at user GZ Supremacy.
I would like to apologize to our editors ahead of time. My name is DeAndre, but I know my at is at Willems, WILLLUMZ. Will, you know they've been saying you had to change your name, bro. Yeah, I don't know why.
I can't.
He's actually Will. He's actually Will. I'm just, my last name's Williams. But today's episode, we are continuing with the top 10 players at each position list. Friendly reminder that all injured players that are expected to either miss the entire season or majority of the season next year have been excluded from this list. Example, point guard list, it was Hallie and Dame. No spoilers, but the power forward list most likely will not have Jason Tatum on it for anybody because we don't assume he's going to come back at all and play next year.
It's a projection list, so I feel like that's also the reason why we're doing it that way is because basically it's not just like where are the rankings as of August 2025? Yeah. It's what do we think the rankings are going to be at the end of the 25-26 season. So that's why you're going to see a lot of young guys mentioned today.
Yep.
I think a lot of projection. And before people are like, oh, it's too soon to do that, it's like, we're projecting.
Yeah.
It's a projection list.
I will say, and this is for my list, my criteria, and I think it's probably might be end up different from y'all. I am projecting where I think that they will play next year. So there are some guys that have been power forwards, quote unquote, for their careers. They're moving to a new team, and it looks like they're going to be playing the three. That's kind of what I was going on, where I think you'll log majority of their minutes.
Yeah.
Do we want to jump right into it?
No, so quick, like 10 seconds on my criteria. The way I defined a small forward is I think there's forwards in the leagues. I think it's clear who's a guard, who's a forward, who's a center.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Guards, forwards, bigs. If you're a forward who can scale up, you're a power forward to me. So if you're a forward who's sometimes playing at the five, I think that's a power forward. If you're a forward who can scale down, you're a small forward to me. That's the way I defined it. That's the way it makes sense in my head. Right? Because I don't think there's, besides, I think, maybe two or three guys, no one does 3, 4, and 5. You're either 3 and a 4, or you're a 4 and a 5.
Yeah.
So if you're in a 4 or 5, you're a power forward. If you're a 3 and a 4, you're a small forward.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant. But we don't got to get into that. We don't got to get into that right now.
Yeah. But
we actually are going to get into that. Because my number one small forward in the NBA next year is newly minted Houston Rockin' Kevin Durant.
Bought the whole list.
Can I tell you why? Can I explain why?
No, before you, we in the group chat asked if Kevin Durant is a power forward or a small forward.
We did. I had a conversation yesterday with somebody about this, and he was like, dude, he's not going to be playing the four next year. Like 90% of his minutes are most likely going to be at the three in majority of his lineups with the Rockets. Starting lineup's probably going to include Jabari Smith Jr. Jabari's not a three.
I don't know if that's set in stone yet, but...
It might not be, but...
If it's not Jabari, it's Tari. Tari's not a three either, so...
Like, every wing that we would have next to him is a, to your point, a scale-up wing, quote-unquote, where they're going to be playing the four. That's what they are. On the offensive end, he's essentially going to be playing shooting guard half the time. Like, he's not going to be functioning as a power forward. He's not playing the nail. Another thing, he's not a rebounder anymore. I think rebounding is something I really looked at for differentiating between small forwards and power forwards. Kevin Durant's not a attack the offensive glass. He's a ball come off the rim, it comes to me rebounder on the defensive end. He's not a heavy box out guy. He functions as a three. He's been forced to play the four and sometimes the five with the Phoenix Suns. I think next year with the double bigs that they're going to run, he's playing the three. With the projected starting lineup, unless it's DFS, then you could, I think, have that argument whether he's a three or four.
So that's a fair argument. I think the last few years, Kevin Durant has been asked to play center a lot, especially with the Phoenix Suns, because they had, like, basically Nurkic back there. Like, they had almost nobody there
playing
center.
He was
their best one, too.
And I was going to say, and I do think it's a fair projection to say, with Capella, Adams, and Şengün, and maybe Jabari spot 5 minutes. He's never touching the five spot.
Yeah, I don't think he's touching the five. And that was another reason for me where it's we're not going to run small ball lineups with Kevin Durant at the five. I think that we're going to run some jumbo lineups where KD might be playing the two. So I think when I took that into account, and I know it's a quote-unquote numbers game, if he's playing the two on offense and the four on defense, 2 + 4 = 6, with 6 divided by 2. He's a three. This is what he is. Like,
I mean, based on my criteria, if he's scaling down, he's a small forward.
Yeah, like I think more or less he's going to end up scaling down more for this team next year with how jumbo-sized the Rockets play. So Kevin Durant is my number one small forward in basketball next year, playing the position he came into this league as. He will finish his career rightfully as a small forward.
Yeah, I think everybody else has him as a power forward, right?
Okay, but I will say, if he does count as a small forward, does anyone think that they're number one? Yeah, does anyone's number one, does anyone think their number one is better than KD? Because I don't.
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Fair enough. Someone else go. I don't want to go.
I think let's go down the list. I think you have the same number one as me.
I don't think I do.
I'll go first then. I have Jalen Williams as my number one small forward.
Yeah, that's one where you go.
And I think we kind of talked a little bit about him last week, so I won't go too much into detail on it, but I do think that he's obviously very versatile. He plays a lot of different positions on the floor. He does a lot for their team offensively and defensively. I think people don't really give him as much credit as he deserves for how good he was, because he did struggle with that, the hand injury he had in the playoffs?
It was a wrist, right? Yeah. I think it was a wrist. He had to get surgery on it.
Yeah, and he was getting, shots. So people didn't really, were kind of slandering him. But, he had some monster games from him in the playoffs. They absolutely
beat in the finals.
Yeah, they would not have won without Jalen Williams. And like I said, a lot of this list is me projecting him. He is going into, was it year four now? Five?
One of the two.
Four.
Year four.
He's Jabari's year. Yeah, so year four.
He's going into year four now. So I'm expecting him to, he's still, 23 years old. He's going to get better this year. I am projecting that. I debated heavily. I won't spoil it because I need to jumbling my list around. I debated heavily him and some other guy at number one, but I ultimately decided, I think what the leap is going to take with how good he was for the Thunder last year, I put him at one.
Who's your one?
So far, I will say your one was ineligible for me because I listed him as a shooting guard. Your one was ineligible for power forward, right? So, and I will say both of those guys would have been number one on my list if I had ranked them. So don't dispute Jalen Williams or Kevin Durant. I have another Jalen as the number one.
That's what I was debating.
As the small forward. I have finals MVP Jalen Brown as the best small forward in the NBA right now. I think he's going to be asked to do a lot more next year. I do think he... While the Celtics, I don't expect them to be a good team next year, I still think that he's very impactful in what he does in terms of he's going to be basically their primary everything next year on offense. Is that a stretch to say? Besides point guard?
It's not a stretch. We'll get into further more about Jalen Brown, I think, because I know for a fact he don't got him one.
I know he doesn't have him one.
He doesn't have one. Yeah. And I'll say this. I don't have him at... To spoil a little bit, I don't have him at one or two. I don't have him at one or two.
Okay,
so.
but you didn't. You have KD.
So you have KD at one, so that's easy.
Okay, so I don't have him at one, two, or three.
So that's about where I got.
Kevin Durant, Jalen Brown, Jalen Williams. Who's your number one?
I have Amen Thompson as my number one.
I love it.
Since we're starting to,
I had him last week for the record.
Start the list. We're not. I think the small forward list, more than any other list, require projection both upwards and downward, because all of the guys that are quote unquote the top small forwards in the league, just statistically speaking, outside of Jalen Brown, they're all old, right?
We're talking about
Kawhi, who's going to be 34. I think he's 34 right now. He'll be 35 next season. Jimmy Butler is 35 right now.
Yeah.
Actually, I think he'll
be 36 going into the season.
It's going to be 36. So, those are two names that are probably going to pop up soon, but they're older, right? And just for the Amen thing, I think that there's certain guys that have exponential growth from year one to year two. And then when they have their quote unquote year three leap, it's normally, you're sub all-star, and then you just go from sub all-star to all-NBA. And if we think he's gonna take that jaw like Trae Young trajectory of I'm just going from being outside the All-Star game to being all NBA second team, he should be the number one person on this list. I think if he takes that leap, he's far and away. Outside of if you kind of like KD, he should be far and away the best small forward in the league. And so if we are doing projection, I feel like he should be number one on this list.
I have a minute too.
I don't have a man as high as you guys do. I agree with a lot of the points you made. I think with the role he's going to assume, I will say, I think I had him as a small, I debated back and forth between small forward and power forward with him. A reason I ended up putting him at small forward is there are going to be lineups where he's the two, where he's the one.
He's scaling down more often than that.
Yeah, but defensively, he is going to be scaling up at times and scaling out at the same time. It's going to be times where he's our POA. It's going to be times where he's our rim pro, our backline, weak side rim pro. I still think that he's going to play some in the nail at times, depending on what lineup it is and what set. I think he's too versatile to say he's a guard, and he's too versatile to say he's a big wing. that's kind of what a small forward's always been, is that guy that's versatile. You can scale him up, you can scale him down. I think I probably am the lowest on the list of everyone.
So
can I ask you a question? You said, because I think he's going to end up guarding more guards than wings.
I think it's going to be lineup dependent for the most part to me. I think he'll play a lot of POA defense.
Lakers, he's going to guard Luka.
As he should.
Yeah, so like if we played the Warriors, he's going to guard Steph. Yeah. If we play...
But I think that's more of just a best player type.
Yeah,
of thing.
I think if we play, besides Jokic, that's my thing. I think if we play the Magic, he's gonna get the Franz or Paolo assignment.
But he's gonna guard the smaller of those two guys. The larger one's gonna get guarded by Bari, Tari.
Like if we're playing the Pacers without Hallie, I think he's guarding Siakam.
I don't think he would guard Siakam.
I think he would.
I see your point with Paolo. Like, Amen's a large NBA basketball player. 6'7".
I'm not saying he can't do it. It'll probably be
matchup wise. Right. I think for guys like the four is like a Siakam. The four is like a we'll get to those guys later on. But the Siakams of the world, the OG Anunobis, the Scotty Barnes. Like, I think that would be his matchup. Some of those like playmaking fours, I guess you want to say, the more on-ball fours. Those guys will be his matchup. I don't project him to guard fives, but at the same time, he can. Good. Like it'll probably be some possessions where he switched out on the five, and Ime's not calling, scrambling for a double team. He's all right, Amen. Let's see what you can do.
I think it just kind of speaks more to his versatility as a defender that Amen is kind of going to be asked to do whatever on any given night. Like I think it could change from quarter to quarter even. And real quick on Amen, he averaged 16-8 as a starter last year. Yeah. And I think that it's not unreasonable to think he makes a jump to like 20-10 this year, especially given that he's probably going to be taking a lot of increased usage. Yeah. He led the team in minutes last year, I believe. He led the whole league in minutes starting January onwards. Part of that, we had injuries going in with Şengün and things like that. So there were times where like you really couldn't rest him in. But I do think it also speaks to how much Coach Ime.
Ime loves him.
Coach Ime really, really likes him in. Yeah. And with the increased usage, I don't think it's ridiculous to say he's going to have a 2010-5 season. Just made first team all defense. And if you're those two things, I'm looking at these names. It's not crazy for him to be on the top of the list. He's two on my list. So the only reason I have him below Jaylen Brown is just I just gave a little bit of deference to like.
I was going
to
say, I have another guy ahead of Jaylen Brown. I already been last week.
Okay, so
I do too. Amen's your two. Who wants to get their two off?
You go for it.
I have Kawhi at two.
Okay. I have KD one. I have Jaylen Williams at two.
Okay. All right, that's valid.
So just go to your three now.
My three is Kawhi.
Who's your two? My two is Franz Wagner.
I will say that for me it ended up being two through four. Those guys were really, really close to me.
So like I said, I debated very heavily between Jaylen Williams, Franz Wagner, and Jaylen Brown. I was going to decide that Jaylen Williams was going to take the best spot, and then I did debate for a minute about did I want to give the position to Jaylen Brown, or because I'll spoil it, Jaylen Brown is my number three. I did debate Franz and Jaylen Brown, but Franz averaged more points last year, more assists. He was more efficient. All the advanced analytics like him more than they like Jaylen Brown. And I think that he is going to have, like I said, he is going into year five now, I believe. Yep. So I think he's still another guy who has another level to take his game to because of how young he is. And I think he had a good season last year. I think he's better than what his season suggests. And I think we're going to see a lot of that going into next season. So I'm projecting him to really take a huge leap this year. Like I could see a world where he is the best small forward in basketball next season.
Just for some stats on Franz Wagner, plus 14 on off and plus 34 expected wins added per cleaning the glass. It's pretty nutty how important he was
incredibly impactful
to that Magic team. And, I do agree. Reason I went Kawhi over him.
Yeah.
It's just
Kawhi there.
Obviously, the injuries, the game time, he's going to rest because they're preparing him for a 16-game season, not an 82-game season. It's just, man, when that dude does play, there's no question who on this list I'd rather have outside of Kevin Durant for me, but there's no question on this list who I'd rather have if I know I'm getting the very best of you. If I'm getting the very best of you, I want Kawhi Leonard because I still know what he is as an offensive player, as an ISO scorer, an underrated PNR playmaker that people don't talk about, an elite off-ball guy off the catch. Just what he does for an offense, like we talk about all the time, when he goes aimbot mode, when the ball says like I find bottom of net and it's just one, two dribble pull-ups, and it's the worst shot you've ever seen, but it's Kawhi, so it's going in. Yep. Those moments, it's like, what do you, how do you play this guy? How do you defend this guy? And I think for Franz, I'm still iffy on his pull-up shooting. And I think that's something that I'm intrigued to see what kind of leap he takes there. Eurobasket, it's been a bit up and down so far. It looks like he's changed his form a bit, gotten rid of that slight hitch he had. But I want to see how that translates to NBA basketball. And I guess to credit him, the lack of spacing that he plays with as well, I think at times will hurt his counting numbers. But yeah, I just went, I gave Kawhi the edge because I know what Kawhi Leonard is. He's going to miss games, but when he plays those games, that team is damn good, and it's damn good because of Kawhi.
Kawhi was my number three. So I we wholeheartedly agree. I was going to say, so far, besides the Jalen Williams, because you didn't rank him as a shooting guard, and Kevin Durant, because you didn't rank him as a power forward. I think we, I was going to say, y'all just do want to be different. But I think we all have like the same names we're kind of throwing out here. I was similarly torn with Kawhi and Amen, because while I do expect Amen to take a leap this year, what Kawhi brings as a relatively like known commodity, especially from just a scoring perspective and an efficiency perspective, I do think has like crazy value. And it's not like he's a terrible defender now. I think when he locks in, he can still be a plus defender. Yeah. And that it was just really the availability that got me. I think at the end of the day, if you ask me who I would rather have on my roster going into next season without knowing anything about them, and it's the same reason we had this Joel Embiid argument, we were in the top 10 players, I would rather take Amen over Kawhi just because I think Amen year three is probably playing a lot of games. He's going to be healthy for the playoffs. He doesn't have a lingering degenerative knee issue that Kawhi does. And yeah, I agree with you though. At their peaks though, Kawhi's topping my list.
Yeah. Who do you guys have at three?
I have Franz.
You have Franz
at three.
I have Jaylen Brown at three.
Jaylen Brown at three. Okay. So I'll go four. I have Franz at four. So again, I think we're throwing around the same.
Franz is also my four.
Franz is also your four.
I have Kawhi Leonard.
Okay, so
and I did want to say, I did want the ISO on Kawhi Leonard. I think that Kawhi Leonard is probably the only superstar in the league that has no expectations, and it bothers me. And I know I think was it Real Talk he was talking about this. I agree with him. It bothers me that Kawhi Leonard, no other superstar gets the grace he gets. He has no expectations every year to win a ring. And when he falls short, he doesn't receive any slander for it. He got first rounded this year. Did we talk about that?
No.
If Steph Curry got
first. He talked about what he did in the game too, though.
If Steph Curry got first rounded this year, we're still talking about that. LeBron did get first rounded. We talk about that. KD didn't make the playoffs. We talk about that. Kawhi Leonard got first rounded. Didn't speak about it. He blew a 3-1 lead in 2020 to the Nuggets. And I do think people need to remember just how, like,
that Clippers team was stacked.
How stacked and how high expectations that Clippers team had.
It was the LA ball, I remember.
Yes,
that.
They were supposed to go to the conference finals and score off with LeBron and AD, and it was like whoever wins that series is winning the whole thing. They didn't even get there. They blew a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets, and this is like, I mean, Jokic is obviously.
I do think history looks on that series more favorably because it's Jokic on the other side, but Jokic wasn't Jokic.
It was the baby Nuggets. They weren't.
Jamal Murray was almost the best player that
3-1. Yeah, and I was going to say, and they blew a 3-1. Like, that's the part I think people don't understand. It's not only they lose, they blew a 3-1 lead. Like, they were talking like they were going to go on to the conference finals win. People were talking about Kawhi is the best player in the league that season. Blew a 3-1 lead in the second round of the playoffs. And so, yeah, I look at him. The reason why I did rank him at four, though, even though I'm kind of crapping him right now, I do expect him kind of somewhat take a regression as he gets up there next because he's 34 years old. He doesn't play. And that's another thing. People. His legacy is the only legacy that I think is aided by the fact that he does not play basketball. Like, I saw somebody earlier today say, if he wins a ring, is he not over Kevin Durant? And to me,
that's ridiculous.
And he's not. And I think because he gets put in these conversations, it's a lot of it's because it's the myth of Kawhi Leonard. It's what you guys said. It's when he does play, he's great. But that's the thing. He doesn't play that much.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, it's not like he doesn't have any blunders. I think his legacy also to a degree is inflated by the 2014 ring. I think the 2019 ring is undeniable. Won't even like try to argue that that wasn't anything less than like phenomenal. But 2014, I think he gets a bit gassed because of that. People don't remember a year prior, his missed free throw was the reason they blew that series. He missed the free throw to put them up, which it wouldn't have mattered if Ray Allen hit that three or not. They would have lost the game. And once again, no one holds his hands to that, but Bron blowing, or not even blowing, Bron not winning a single game against the Warriors in 2018. So talk about that. James Harden couldn't beat the Warriors by himself. So talk about that. I saw somebody today, or not today, the other day, slandering Anthony Davis because he couldn't win with injured DeMarcus Cousins. Like, Kawhi Leonard is the only guy who just gets a pass, and I don't get it. So
that's fair. If you're going to hold someone, are you going to put him in those kind of conversations? They like, definitely do. All yes. decade team,
he gets put
all
in
those kind
insane
of things.
Combos. And
I remember them talks out the game too against the Nuggets.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. People put him in like this, the most insane combo. That's like I'll say, does anybody on this panel see anyone expecting the Clippers to win it this year? Like holding them to like championship
it's
or bust
just been the unction
no.
jokes.
Yes.
That's really all it's been.
Yeah. No one looks at the Clippers as if this is a championship or bust. But LeBron at this big age, nah, bro, you got to win in LA. Steph, you still got to win. People have said if KD does not win with this Rockets team, his legacy takes a hit.
Yeah.
All these other guys from that generation who were considered, you know, all-time greats, they have to win this year. He doesn't. And I think that's crazy to me. So I'll let my play.
I agree. I do think he's been very sheltered as a player. I think a part of that is one starting in San Antonio and how it ended with a lot of the medical disagreements, I guess, from his medical team and the Spurs medical team. I think the league chose to look at him favorably after that. And then obviously that 2019 ring does hold a lot of weight. Like he got blood on that
ring. Does.
Like that's a ring that he had to fight for. I do agree with you. I think that, and we'll talk about this when we get to the NBA season preview with the Clippers. I think for a team that, although older, is that talented, the lack of conversation around what they should be doing, I think is a reflection on how little faith we do have in their best guy being there when it matters. And that has to mean something. I will say you might have walked me back. I might throw Franz over Kawhi. You might have walked me back.
I expect Franz to grow his game this year. And I think Kawhi, as he gets up there in age, is going to take some.
Because again, yeah. For me, it's not like a peak of their powers.
Yes, it's still Kawhi.
It's still Kawhi, yeah. But
just don't
man, like he's probably going to play what 45, 50 games next year because they're going to intentionally
didn't he play
rest
like
him.
30 games, 39 games last year.
No, he played. I think he played over 60, but for a lot of it, he was also like kind of ramping up. Actually, I don't know.
Think he played no, that,
that, that was year before. That was
he
year
was
before
until what December.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to say he might have
played 37 games.
Yeah.
Last
year. Yeah. The year before is what you were describing where he played 60 plus games.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was only Kawhi like post February.
I was going to say, and then people, we talk about what he did in game two this year. We don't talk about what he did after that, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That doesn't happen.
I was going to say, in the availability argument, I mean, Kawhi was there this year. He played all 7 games of that series and he was on the court in that elimination game. I think Harden gets a lot of flack for it. Deservedly.
Harden gets more this year. Yeah, I said Harden gets more. And it's Kawhi's team.
Yeah, that's the thing. Kawhi is known as the best player on that team, yet Harden kind of gets more flack. Kawhi also wasn't hooping exactly down the stretch of that series. I do think this is probably where the list starts to deviate a little bit. I think we've been throwing around.
Let's recap.
My one, KD, two, Jalen Williams, three, Kawhi Leonard. Or I'm gonna swap it. Three, Franz Wagner. You convinced me. Four, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. So
did you say Jalen Brown yet?
No.
Okay. So not all the same names. Okay. Jalen Brown, Amen Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, Franz Wagner.
I have Jalen Williams, Franz Wagner, Jalen Brown, and then Kawhi Leonard at my four.
I have Amen Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, Franz Wagner, and then I had Jalen Brown at four.
Okay. So
very reluctantly.
You go number five first.
I have Amen Thompson at five.
Okay.
You have
I'm not mad at that at all.
Well, you don't have Jalen Brown ranked yet.
He's in ranked Jalen Brown.
I guess you expect Franz to be better than the men next year?
Yeah, he's just going to have more responsibility. And okay, I still think that I agree with you guys that a men is going to take a leap. I disagree with you saying all NBA leap simply because it's a role that he has not played since he was 18 years old. Like, he's going to be asked to play secondary ball handler at times, sometimes primary ball handler.
Does Franz make the All-Star team this year?
I think he makes an if the Magic are as good as I think they are, I think he makes an All-NBA.
Actually, no, he is going to start. Actually.
Yeah, like I think he's an All-NBA guy. If the Magic are a top three seed, I think they should be.
Desmond Bane acquisition. They should be in the conversation.
I think we're speaking of Franz as the best player on that team. I still don't think he's viewed that way.
He is their best player.
I agree.
And we'll get to that in the power forward episode.
Yeah,
but he's clearly the best player on that team. The reason. I love Amen Thompson. I love him. Excellent CFC. You know he like that, man. But I still think that there's going to be a bit of struggle with his handle. I don't think he's fully ready to just say, like, oh, it's just going to hit the ground running. Like, there's going to be games where he's moving too fast and the ball doesn't want to go with him. I think there's going to be less games like that than we've seen in the past, but I expect him to be a pretty high turnover guy, if I'm being completely honest, with increased on-ball usage. I think his turnovers are going to ramp up. I do expect the scoring, the rebounding to be a bit better. I will say I think the defense will still be elite. The volume at which it's elite, I think, will go down because he's tasked to do more offensively too. So I'm yet to see how he'll adjust to that. About, you know, we talk about two-way guys a lot, and a lot of two-way guys are built off reputation of, we know they can play defense, but we know they have to have 25% usage on offense. If there's one guy I think that can do, genuinely do both, it's, like, I call him a black Viltrumite for a reason. Like, we don't know what that guy's limits are for real. So I think that he does have a shot to do it, but it's kind of a, I believe in you, but I kind of know what these guys are above you, and I know their baseline. I don't necessarily know your baseline in the role we're going to see you in. It's only so much projection I can do, at least for a one-year projection for Amen Thompson. This was a long-term list. This was a next 5 years. He's number one by and a far away from me. But just simply next season, I have him at five.
Do you – I'll ask this. Let's go with what us was saying earlier, right? If he's, we'll say like 29 and 5, because I don't know if he gets 10 rebounds, because, you know, the nature of our team. If he's 29 and 5 with, we'll say he's not deep.
I'll say 20 and 5 are the two big jumps there. I think 9 rebounds.
Yeah, that's whatever.
I believe off the top of my head, it's like a 4-point increase and then
one and a half assist increase or something like that. So yeah, if he's 29 and 5, and let's say he's not like top three DPOY, but he's still
first team all defense again.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we probably will, because we'll probably have like a top three defense in the league. So somebody's going to make first team, right? One, do you think that that is like an all-star, low all-NBA guy? And two, I'm blanking on the three names you had after KD.
KD, Jalen Williams, Kawhi. KD, Jalen Williams, Franz, Kawhi, then a minute.
Okay, so do you think that player, right, not projecting anything like outlier or anything, just that player could be above, like, Kawhi?
I think he could be above. If it is legit, like, 29-5, first-team all-level defense, yes. I don't think he'll average 29-5 next year, if I'm completely honest. I think with the nature of this team, Şengün's going to – I expect Şengün to take a leap, and we'll talk about that in the center episode. I think he's going to take another leap. He's going to demand more on-ball usage. Obviously you had Kevin Durant to the team. I think he'll end up being around like 18-8-5. Like, I think the scoring won't be as prolific as some people expect it to be. And I think for the nature of this team, that probably would be better. Cause that means I can make sure that you're that guy on defense that I know you still can be, and exert more energy on that end of the floor. So I just think the scoring aspect of it is what's holding me back a bit. Cause when we do run into the top five, top seven defenses, they're going to go double under on him still until he proves, make a pull-up midi consistently. And he had decent numbers on pull-up midis last year, but we're talking like 0.6 attempts a game.
No, that's very.
So until that part of his game ramps up to where I can see it night in, night out, I think the guys above him against the top 10 defenses, when we go to not Denver per se, but when we go to a...
OKC.
Yeah, when we go to a OKC, when we go to a... a Miami, which Miami's defense is a bit reputation defense at this point. But when we go to these certain places that are going to scheme for him, how are you going to adjust to that scheme in that increased role? So that's the only reason. I love him in Thompson, though. I think top five small forward next year should be the baseline for him.
He should be that.
Because dudes that smart and that athletic don't fail. That's my line of demarcation for him. He's, I think, the best athlete in the NBA right now. And I think there's an argument he's one of the five best athletes the league's ever seen. And I think because of how flashy the athleticism is, people discredit how good of a processor he is, how high feel he is, and how he weaponizes his athleticism with that processing speed and with that feel for the game. I've yet to see somebody with that combination fail. And not just fail, but fail to be an all-NBA type of player. So
you just don't know if it's going to be next year.
I just think next year might just be a year too soon.
I can understand that. My number five, I'm curious if you guys even ranked him as a small forward. I have Trey Murphy.
I did rank him as a small forward.
He's not in my top 10.
He's
not in your top 10.
You consider him a small forward, he's not in your top 10?
Okay, so Trey
boy,
Murphy.
Boy. I'm on off stink.
I'm on off
stink, man.
Trey Murphy he's I think one of the best floor spacers in the NBA right now. He shoots shoots from Yucatan and shoots like insane percentages consistently. And then I think he averaged almost 25 points a game last year. Mm-hmm. I expect him to continue to improve at that pace. I think the contract they have him on is a steal. He's making, I think, what, it's like $20 million? It's like,
I think it's like 28.
Yeah, less than $30 million while there's guys out there getting paid way more than that. I was going to say De'Aaron Fox, Jaylen Brown. Guys on this list getting paid way more than that.
They have.
Anyway, I think Trey Murphy's going to have a really, really good season, even though the Pelicans have their own issues. I think he's a top five small forward.
I'll go next. I have Jimmy Butler at 5.
Yeah, I had Jimmy at 5 as well.
And I think that, I do factor in for him getting up there in age. He'll probably see some regression.
He's going to be 36 at the start of the season, I think.
But, yeah. I mean, he was still really good for the Warriors last season. He was, I think a lot of people were kind of fooled by the fact they were the 7 seed last year. They were not a 7 seed team. They were a lot better than that.
Once they added Jimmy.
Yeah, and I'll say he was the reason for that. That turnaround they saw post-trade deadline for acquiring Jimmy Butler was the huge reason for that. I think I could argue to you that maybe outside of Jalen Williams, I think he's the best playmaker on this list that I have.
I think he's probably better.
And you can, I'll say, I think you could argue he's better than Jalen Williams. I was going to say, I think you could argue, I think it's one of those two guys. So he's still, you know, a really good playmaker. He still has insanely high feel for the game. We saw the chemistry between him and Steph, and I still think Steph Curry has a lot to give the game going into next season. So, I still have Jimmy Butler as a top 5 small forward.
Okay. Who's your 5? Also Jimmy.
Yeah, right? I had Jimmy.
Okay, so then we can kick it to 6.
My 6 is Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is the 6.
I don't hate that.
Can I get an ISO on this real quick?
I don't hate that.
You got it.
I just want to ISO on this real quick. By every advanced metrics on one of the best teams the NBA has seen for the past 5 seasons, he is either a +1 or less in every single lineup. Every single adjusted advanced analytic. His on-offs this past season was -0.08 on the Celtics. Had a -2 relative true shooting.
So
and this is with him being a secondary guy to one of the best and most important and most heavily defended players in the NBA in Jason Tatum. You mean to tell me that guy next year, we know has clear deficiencies on the ball, has deficiencies off the ball, has issues creating for himself at times, has issues being effective in an offense that is catered to be effective. That guy is going to be with a vastly worse team, and he's going to be ramping up his on-ball usage. I don't think it's going to look... His counting stats are probably going to be like 26-7-5. It's going to be really, really nice counting stats. 55 true shooting.
They have a 1-1.
Like, it's going to be really, really nasty. And I've said this for years. I think he's the 3rd best player on the Celtics, and I think depending on the night, you could argue 4th most important. It's just, he's always been the one guy for me at the contract they paid him for the role that he has. You can find something better than Jaylen Brown. Like, I genuinely think that the Celtics should not have given him that money. I get why you did. You pay the guys.
I mean, it worked out. They won
a good title. They won a title. You got to pay the guys that win you one. I understand that, but it just feels like there's so many better players in that role, whether it be at point guard, shooting guard, or small forward, that would just fit so much better with that team, like genuinely so much better. And again, dude, if you were a negative with Jason Tatum, if you were a negative with Drew Holiday, negative with Derek White, negative with Porzingis, negative with Al Horford, if you're a negative the entire time of this team becoming a legitimate force to be reckoned with for 6 seasons now?
You circle back all the way to like 2020.
His rookie season is when you can go back, and I don't want to discredit him as an early NBA player. He's more established now, obviously, but it's just negative after negative after negative in terms of his on-offs. And at some point, man, I know folks like, oh, nerds are ruining basketball. Kevin Durant, I've seen this week, gang. Like, I get it. Like, you can't view the game as just all analytics, but they don't lie.
Yeah, especially
they can't be lying for
minutes.
Yeah, they can't be lying for 5 straight years when you got 1500 plus logged minutes each year. Like, at some point I got to look and say, dude, they're just better with you all the
minutes at this point.
So that's the reason I have them, I guess, lower compared to everybody. Not even, I guess.
Yeah, I had him at 4. You know what? I'm not going to lie, Dre, you encouraging me to hate more, cuz I really should have had him lower, bro. First of all, everything you said is 100% spot on, dude. And like you said, I think sometimes you can say on-offs are misleading. Like, if you go by a 1-year sample size, you know, bench units, stuff like that, it can skew the numbers a little bit. But, I mean, it's been that way since like you said, like 2020.
Yeah.
And in 2020, he was an all-star caliber player. So it wasn't like we're talking about a role player. So literally the entire time that he's been an all-star caliber player, his own offs have been negative. Mind you, we're talking about a team that's plus 7, plus 8, plus 10. I think this year they were plus 9. How are you consistently a negative on a team that has a top 5 net rating in the league? And so, yeah, I just... His own offs are, like, very DeRozan-esque.
Do you want to... since for the past 3 seasons, minus 6.2... Minus 8.9.
Jeez, Louise,
minus.
Man. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm amending my list, bro. He gotta drop down, bro.
I ain't gonna. Because when I looked at it, and I'm like, man, like, is he better than Franz Wagner? I don't think so. Do I think he'll be better than Amen Thompson next year? I don't think so. Is he better than Kawhi Leonard? No. Is he better than Jalen Williams? Hell no. Like, you just list the players that you have above him and say they're more valuable, they're more consistent, they're more versatile, they're more efficient. Like, it's just. Why should I just put him top 3? Because he's got a contract and he's on a good team?
Accolades. Listen, I know everyone's like, oh, accolades don't matter, this like that.
He wasn't good when he got the accolades.
Franz has never been an all-star. Kawhi hasn't made the all-star team in 2 years. Amen has never made the all-star game. Jalen Brown's made the all-star game each of the last 3 years.
Tell me what his finals stats were.
He's a finals MVP.
Tell me what his finals stats were.
He won the MVP.
It's just... And even then, in the finals, man, on-offs in the finals weren't great.
Finals MVP.
And I get it, the finals MVP stuff, but yeah. I don't know. It's just, he's not okay, a better basketball
player.
We
should keep it pushing. My number 6 is...
Did you say your 5 yet?
Yeah, I had Jimmy.
Okay.
Yeah, Jimmy. Your six was...
My 6 is Jalen Brown.
My number 6 is a projection pick, but coming out of Duke is the number one overall pick.
Heck no, dude.
I don't hate it. I think Cooper Flagg is going to be the sixth.
No. He's on my list, but this is high.
Okay, so a big part of that is I don't expect anyone 7 down to average more than 20 points a game.
He's not averaging 20 points per game.
He's not getting to 20, but I think I think Cooper Flagg's coming in at 17, 18 points a game. Also, this is real quick. I think he's coming in 17, 18 points a game. I think Cooper Flagg's making an all defensive team this year.
No, he's not.
I think he's making
one. He's tweaking.
I think he's making one.
Not as a rookie, no.
Do you think
Dallas is going to be a good enough defense?
Yeah, I also think the defense is going to be that good.
I think they're going to be like a top 10 defense, but I mean, if they're just like number 10, they're going to give the all-defensive test.
Look at some of the names that sneak onto all-defense every year. And tell me Cooper Flagg's not going to be a better
defender. But the thing with that
he won't be a better defender than Tumani Kamara, either of the Thompson twins.
I mean, how good were was Portland's defense last year?
Yeah, that's a really good – but my point is, if you're going to – because if they're a top, like, 10 defense, right, and they have an all-defensive guy, it's probably going to default to AD. So in order for you to have multiple guys on the all-defensive team, we're talking about you got to be like a top
five. I mean, that's assuming AD's eligible.
So you know what? That's a very good point. Yeah. That's a very good point.
I don't think he's made.
He's only not eligible. They're probably not a top 10 defense
because, like, you haven't said Jimmy yet.
So okay, so Jimmy's my 7.
Man, but heck no, bro.
I'll go on to Jimmy Butler rant, but I want to let everyone do their 6.
So he's going to average what, like 17-6-3.
Yeah, what do you think Jimmy Butler was averaging on the Warriors?
I was going to say, but on what efficiency?
on what efficiency for
Cooper Flagg?
As a rookie, mind you.
Like 50,
he might sneak like close to league average.
It's gonna be like 55-56.
Again, how efficient do you think Jimmy was?
Jimmy Butler was like 62-63.
Yeah, he was incredible.
He was really efficient. He just didn't shoot the ball.
He didn't shoot the ball much. He's also
a really good playmaker relative to role of position.
Yeah. So that's my thing with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's a role player now.
He's a really good role player. I mean, that's why he's number 5 on my list and not number 1 through 4.
Yeah, but I think not only is he a role player now. If we're projecting here, how good did Jimmy Butler look down the stretch of that season in the playoff games? He had like 1 or 2 good games.
He also
in the playoffs,
didn't get injured.
But okay, what do you think is going to happen when he's age 36?
I'm sorry with you. I think that's a good point.
But that's also why he's not.
Like he had
list 2 years ago, he's like undisputably top 3.
I agree, but that's 2 years ago.
I'll say, bro, he was 18-5-5 on 63.
I think you discredit how nasty the rookie wall is for everybody. Like, this is a guy that's
different, though.
I think Cooper Flagg's a generational prospect.
Wimby was generational too. Look at his numbers.
He averaged like 20-10.
Look at his numbers after the third.
That was also on a team that allowed him to go out there and just shot.
Yeah, like
he's on the Maverick team that, like,
are they not going to lie?
I'm not going to lie. Who is getting in?
I'll say Kyrie's banged up right now, but Anthony Davis is in theory supposed to be there. He's going to get hurt at some point.
Yeah, but Anthony Davis is not going to be going out there self-creating shots. He's taking not, like 25 a game.
He's going to be the first option.
They have a team full of like established guys.
Yes. Like, Klay Thompson is not, established.
I think that's the...
Yeah, but again, Klay Thompson's not a guy that's going to go out there and chuck shots.
He's not, but I think these are guys who are going to prevent him from going out there and shot chucking.
Yeah, and I think that's good for Cooper Flagg. That there's not like this weight of expectation of him going out taking 17, 18 shots a game. Like, he'll probably be around like 13 shots a game. He'll probably be like somewhat efficient for a rookie on rookie level efficiency.
I mean,
like
he's probably going
56 true shooting. Like, I can't say like 17, 6, and 4 on 56 true shooting.
I mean, who's supplanting
the rookie slumps he's going to have is going to be better than like, you know, I have. Who do y'all have at 6? Before we get into
that, I have Trey Murphy at 6.
Okay.
Ooh, I have Brandon Ingram at 6.
He's not in my top 10.
I just knew you weren't going to rank him.
Brandon Ingram's not in my top 10.
Mine. Yeah, he's not in my top 10.
He's in mine. Okay. Oh, we locked in, twin. Come on, man.
We'll get to the Trey Murphy thing, because I do think that you are... I don't understand how you... Why is Trey Murphy... I mean, Brandon Ingram better than Trey Murphy?
Can I give you stats? I'll say... Like, genuine stats?
I'll say Trey Murphy is 21-5-4 on 60 true shooting.
So, I don't want to... I guess I'm spoiling my list. I have Jimmy at 7, Brandon Ingram at 8, and I was very, very... iffy on putting Brandon Ingram on this list because the narrative around him is that he's a loser. He gets that Zach LaVine tag a lot. It's not that case with him. Since 2019, he has 12-plus lineups with 100-plus minutes. Guess how many of them are positive? 11 out of the 12.
Everyone besides the one was
And guess which one is a negative? Zion. The one that has Derek Favors in it.
Ooh.
Like, he is genuinely a good basketball player when he's on the court.
Agree.
His teams are always better. To the Zion point, B.I. no Zion, plus 6. Zion no B.I., plus 0.1. Like, he has genuinely been the best player on a consistent night-to-night basis for his teams the past 5 seasons. He's routinely 23-5-5 on 58 true shooting. He's a genuine self-creator, a way better playmaker than people give him credit
Very
for.
Underrated
Reason player. He's 8 on my list is because he's a cone. Like, it's times where he just doesn't
try. I was
going
to say, I feel
like he's a cone. He's about 58 true shooting.
No, he's not.
Last year was 54. It was bad.
Yeah, honestly, his efficiency.
Last year was 54. He got hurt last year, though. So I'm going to give him a bit of grace there.
He's been hovering around the 55 to 58 true shooting range.
My problem with Brandon,
I kind of live with that.
My problem with Brandon,
his shot diet and what he provides.
No. Shot diet.
A long too.
I was saying, can we stop on shot diet for a second? Brandon Ingram is a player from like the early 2000s that has like transposed himself into today's game. Because he doesn't take pull-up threes. He doesn't take catch-and-shoot threes. He doesn't go to the rim. He's all contested, tough twos. And he's not Kevin Durant.
I mean, but still, like, 2019-20, 58-7. Next year, 58-4. Had a down year in 21. 55-4. 58-2, 57-8. On 23-5-5 for the most part.
He's also the kind of guy who strikes me as his health is getting any better.
Yeah, that's another problem. The availability is also a huge
point.
My thing is, he's not good enough, and he's not available enough for me to put him top 10. That was my logic.
I mean,
he
played last year, he was hurt, but
he's a cone.
62, like, 61. Again, like the
he
reason
guard at all.
Him being a cone, I'm gonna be honest. And y'all keep speaking about Trey Murphy. I'm not gonna lie, gang. Please watch his defensive
end. He's not a cone.
Yeah, I'm not gonna throw the cone word out there. He might be one
he's
of the
not Herb Jones.
He's a pop-up defender, though. I'm gonna keep it a stat with you.
But Trey Murphy is easily the worst defender on my
team. You would rather have Trey Murphy on your team than Brandon.
Yeah, that's my point.
Am I starting from scratch or do I have somebody?
If you're starting from scratch, you're not taking Brandon
immediately.
They played together, checked them on offs with Trey Murphy on the floor and with Brandon Ingram on the floor, dude. Like, Brandon Ingram was the best player on those Pelicans teams.
I know what
Paul
will put on Twitter next week, man.
Like, he was the best player on those Pelicans teams, dude. Like, I get, like, NBA Twitter loves Trey Murphy. They see the deep threes. He catches a body every now and then, dude. Like, he's not one, he can't dribble. Trey Murphy can't dribble. He can't self-create at all. He's a 3-and-D specialist, and the defense is kind of in, and he takes 1 or 2 dribble pull-ups. He can't isolate. He can't run a pick and roll.
What kind of specialist is Brandon Ingram?
He's excellent at the PNR. Excellent at ISO. No, funny. Hold on. 0.95 points possession or higher in every single major play type across the past 4 years. Like, there's... Everything that we try and say about Brandon Ingram isn't true.
No, I like B.I.
Like, his dad just not true about him, dude.
I don't know why you have him over Trey Murphy.
You don't get to the rim. You don't get to the line. You don't
We can keep it moving, man.
I chalk players like that.
23-5-5.
As a rule of thumb, I chalk players like that.
Let's keep moving, bro.
But he was your 8?
He's my 8. Okay. So we brought Brandon Ingram up, so I just wanted
to... Who's your 8?
No. We skipped, because he hasn't said...
Oh, I have as a 7.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we're behind on
So do I need to say 7 and 8?
Say 7 and 8, and then you said 7, right?
Will?
Everybody say their six.
I did not say seven.
Just say 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
Everyone.
I had Brandon Ingram 6, OG Anunoby 7, and Cooper Flagg 8.
Okay. I didn't list OG.
I counted OG as a power forward.
He played in like 90% of his minutes.
I consider OG.
What's your 6, 7, 8?
My 6 is Trey Murphy. My 7 is Mikal. My 8 is OG.
Okay. Mikal Bridges?
Mikal over OG?
Yes.
Dude, he stinks.
Mikal's not in my top 10.
Yeah, he's not in my top 15.
So you didn't rank.
Lord.
He's not in your top 15.
Mikal Bridges sucks, dude. He's a bad basketball player. He sucks.
Top 15?
Not in my top 15, dude.
Okay, but
I have a bad basketball player.
He's horrible.
You have him at 10?
Yeah, I have.
He's not in my top 10. I had Flagg at 6, Butler at 7. I have Jalen Johnson at 8.
I had him as 4.
He's a 4
because I had Reese Shea as a 3, so I put him at the 4.
Okay.
I love Jalen Johnson.
Basketball reference.
He has like 90% of his minutes. See, that was the thing because I looked it up, and he's listed as small forward, but if you go look at the play-by-play, 90% of his minutes, like every season, is power forward minutes. Yeah. So they lied about his.
But anyway, if he was a 3, I would have him.
Yeah,
he did.
I feel like the rankings at this point, I think, is going to get a little bit.
It's going to be based off positional list.
I will say, like, OG, if I counted OG, I'm not mad at the spot for OG either. Yeah,
this is about the range.
This is about the range he'd be for me as well. I just didn't consider him a small forward.
Valid.
I same feelings for Jalen Johnson on y'all.
Yeah.
I think this is the same tier. Okay, so let's just go to 9, starting from you.
My 9 is Cooper Flagg.
Mine's Jaden McDaniels.
You know, I debated putting Jaden McDaniels in my top 10.
Jaden McDaniels.
He doesn't do enough offensively for me to put him there. I have Lauri Markkanen at 9.
Well, yeah,
I counted Lauri as a power forward. Yeah,
I count him as a 3.
He's on my 3s list. He was just outside the top 10.
I was going to say, I do think that the reason why he's 9 and not, maybe like 2 years ago, he probably would have been flirting with top 5. He regressed last year, bro. I had him on fantasy, and he was selling me week after week. And I think that I'm kind of pat myself on the back here. I predicted this, bro. I said 2 years ago, I'm like, bro, I would have sold high on him when he was on that contract that he was on.
Yeah, they
when he was playing out of his mind, bro. He was like 25, 26 on like
great efficiency.
Like, was it like 60 excellent. Plus?
It was like 64.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. It was insane, bro. Like, to me, that was the most obvious. You sell high on this guy and run away with, like, I mean, we saw what Mikal Bridges went for, which I'm a bit higher on him than DeAndre's, but I agree. He's not that greatest. We saw what Mikal went for.
Yeah, he not
what, four what for do you think Lauri Markkanen at that time on that contract would have went for? So
yeah,
I think it's a
hole, honestly.
Probably would have got you more. I think it's a shame that they've not cashed out on him at the time they did. And I mean,
his contract's pretty bad now, too.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck with him.
That 2 year max is nasty.
He's kind of there. So
my issue with Lauri Markkanen is just he doesn't do anything self creating wise.
Nope.
He's
one of the
purely,
that's why he's not.
But that's the problem. When you're purely a play finisher and you're also not a good defender, he's not a good rebounder. He's not a good self creator. It's not like he drives to the rim a lot. It's not like he gets to the free throw line. You're the definition of a role player play finisher who also doesn't play defense. I can find a guy that does that role and also gives me other aspects. Like, your 18 points a game on like insane efficiency is great, but I would rather have someone give me 25 on worse efficiency, if that makes sense. Like, just when he's actually hitting a pull-up three every now and then, or like self-creating a shot and getting to the rim. Like, he just doesn't do anything self-creation wise, and that's why it's kind of irks me. Like, I can't have him that high. Yeah.
Who's your 9?
Trey Murphy.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
No, I had some pushback on Jaden McDaniels.
He's on my list.
I think down the stretch of last season, I think his offense was trending up. I think he had a down shooting year.
He was good in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think he was good in the playoffs. I think it's not crazy to me to think that his offense ticks back up next year. And I think his defense kind of speaks for itself.
Well, when you say ticks back up, what does that entail?
Well, I'm not saying he's going to shoot 40% from three again. But I think he's going to become a positive shooter again.
I mean, more so his volume.
So you have him over some.
Because I'm not mistaken, if someone can like b-ball reference,
you're going to hate quickly. My 9 and 10.
I don't think Jaden McDaniels is average over like 13 a game.
It might be like.
I don't even think he's average over 12, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong.
I'll say the efficiency on it is not the
greatest. Yeah, he's not also great, had like pretty mid.
That's
12, 10, 12 last 3 seasons.
So he's never added number 12.
I ended up making a list of like 16 names. He's number 15 on mine. I debated putting him in the top 10, but I was like, he's just not as good of an offensive player.
I mean,
what does he do?
He's not my 10. He's not my 10.
Yeah, he's not in my top 10 either.
Have you said your 9 yet?
Cooper Flagg.
Okay.
I'm gonna keep it a whole stack on the Flagg point. You had him too high, but he is going to be
I go, y'all two spots apart, right. Gang?
And he had him at 6, right?
I had him at 6.
Yeah. I got him at 9.
Oh, okay.
So, like, yeah. I think he'll... I look at other guys, like, spots. In the guys in this conversation, the Jaden McDaniels, the Zachary Risacheys, the Lauri Markkanens, the Mikal Bridges. Like, you look at those guys, and it's...
I can't believe Mikal.
I think he's going to be better than those
yeah,
guys.
Give me Cooper Flagg.
Like, I think Cooper Flagg, especially by the end of the season next year, by game 82, assuming the Mavs are in play-in, playoff contention, game 82 Cooper Flagg, after a year of NBA experience under his belt, that's going to be a problem to handle. And I think we do throw around generational tag too much. That's what they look like. Yeah, he is a generational prospect.
I think he's going to. Like I said, he's not. The Mavericks aren't.
I mean, but some of the. Like, is Mikal Bridges getting opportunities?
And he averaged like 22 last year.
Did he?
Wouldn't it like.
Nah, gang. That was.
I don't think he did, bro.
Not next to Jalen Brunson.
That was a Brooklyn gang.
It was 17.
It was 18.
Yeah. So, like, I'm going to say he was 18, 3, and 4. It was 18, 3, and 4, and we vastly overrate Mikal Bridges' defense.
He's a better defender. I mean, like, I'm not mad.
I think Flagg couldn't outdo, like,
I think he's going to be way better.
Guys in that ring.
No, he's going to be way better.
Yeah, he's going to be way better.
Honestly, I'm not mad at that. I'm not changing my list. I'm not made my top 10.
Who's, okay. Y'all said your nines already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was Lauri, yeah.
Lauri, okay. So, 10.
Very heavy projections.
Mine's also very heavy projections.
The other twin playing now in Detroit.
I also have a Asar Thompson. Let's go.
I got Asar Thompson at 10.
All right, we're throwing Pistons.
I kind of want to change my list.
I think that he is going to be one of the three best defenders in basketball next season. And I think the value that he's going to have there, I think he'll continue to grow on the offensive end. He's a monster in transition. I think his fit next to Kane on the defensive end has already showed to be fantastic. I know people just pull up that Jalen Brunson clip. And But other than that, man, like he was
a lot of people.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson was doing that to a lot of people.
That's more credit to Jalen Brunson than
I think he'll be first team on defense next year. That's
definitely.
If he played enough games, he was going to be standing next to him and on first team this year. Like I swear he was.
Yeah, I think he's a first team on defense guy. I think he gets up to about 14 points per game.
Deserved ones too.
Yeah. Like I think that he's gonna be one of the best defenders in basketball. And I think gonna take a sizable enough offensive leap to where when I look at him versus a Lauri, a Mikal, a guy I was thinking about a Zachary Risacheys, an MPJ, like guys in that realm. I just think he'll be more impactful from those guys if he takes the leap that I think he'll take. If he just stays the same defender. Like if he just stays the same level defender, and I think
and just healthy.
Yeah, and stays healthy. And I think he'll take another year of experience under his belt and grow as a defender. And that's a scary sight to think about in and of itself.
And that's my biggest thing with Asar. I feel like people completely overlook him because of his blood clot issue and stuff he had to deal with. He's literally going to be in DPOY convos right next to Amen. I think coming out of the draft, I had him as a better defender than Amen. I think he's a little bit more disciplined. Amen gambles a little more than he does. And I still think they're on those same tiers today. I think people have been putting Amen, I think, way higher than him, which I think, frankly, is ridiculous because if you watch the Pistons last year, he's doing almost everything for them defensively, like everything. Yeah. And while Amen is kind of blocked from his rebounding potential on our team, the Pistons don't have that problem. I think there's a real world where he comes out averaging like 12-12 next year while being like top.
I don't think he touches 12 boards a lot. I don't think he touches 12-12, but
I think he can average double double.
Durin's a really good rebounder. That's one thing.
Durin is a really good rebounder.
Does really well.
Offensive rebounder.
But do you think a double double is out of the question?
Yeah, 10 rebounds a game is a lot. Like 10 boards a game is as a guy who I think that's going to hold him back from averaging more rebounds is he's POA for them.
Yeah, that's true.
Like he's their point of attack defender. He does so much for them defensively.
He doesn't get the defensive board.
But he's like he is a POA guy for them. But I just think the value that he's going to provide, POA defense, weak side defense, nail defender. Like, he's so good defensively. He's got to cut down on the foul problem. He fouls a lot.
His screen nav, I think, is the best in the entire NBA.
Yeah, he's got excellent screen.
I don't know if that's a hot take.
He's so good defensively. So I think that if he takes the offensive leap, I think he can take. If he's 14-6-3, I'll say, first team on defense the way I think he is, I think that's the 10th best small forward.
And I think when we're at this tier of player, like these Jaden McDaniels, Asars, the names you were throwing out, I'll say, but the names we're throwing out, I think if you're going to be like top 5 in the league at something, I think that does kind of come at a premium. And I do project him to be a top 5 defender next year and be first team all defense if he's healthy.
Yeah. That's fair. So we got this is the Thompson take. Who's over?
Sorry. I had Mikal Bridges at 10, but y'all have convinced me to swap him out, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
Who you gonna put?
I would put Asar at 10.
Put Asar
at
8. Yeah, converted one.
Propaganda. Hey,
can
yes.
I put him over Jaylen Brown, bro?
How far is Jaylen Brown? Is only going to get
is he falling to 10? Yo,
he started this podcast at what, 4?
Is he better than Jimmy? Is he going to be better than Coop?
We started this podcast with, I think, Jaylen Brown at 4 on his list. He's going to end it like
that. I didn't hate enough, bro. I was inspired by your DeAndre speech.
Charlotte FC. I gave y'all Brandon Miller.
Oh, ew. Ew.
You know, I'm
ew.
Not going to lie for a second. Ew. That's my number 10, so I can't say nothing about that.
I gave him Brandon Miller at 10. I think it's like a leap next year. I think a lot of why he did not look what you wanted him to. I mean, he got hurt last year. He didn't play. Now, even then, I think it was, what, 20-22 on 54 true shooting last year, even with him barely playing. This next year will be his year 3, and if that guy is anything of the guy that Hornets fans have been cussing me out over for the last 2 years, he should be the top. He should be the 10th best small forward.
This is going to sound like so like loser in the comments might kill me. I for part of this list, I went on 2K to see like what 2K had him listed at. 2K has him listed as shooting guards. So I was like, I'm not going to put him on the small forward list.
Dang, so you don't think he's in another position?
I think I might have to make this my thing, but if you can't shoot pull-up twos, or if you can't get to the rim, you don't shoot pull-up threes, and you don't get free throws, I'm chalking you.
I mean, y'all know, I'm
shoot pull-up threes.
I'm not the highest on Brandon Miller, notoriously, but I think he can, with a year 3 leap that he should hopefully take, you know, maybe it might be a bit slower because he missed a lot of last season, say he's number 10. I mean, because the other option, y'all can hate me for it, was I was deciding between one of Brandon Ingram and Michael Porter Jr., and I was like, I don't know if I could even put these guys at number 10, so.
Yeah, you picked the wrong Brandon. I'm keeping it honest with you. Yeah.
You think all those guys are better than Jaden McDaniels?
I think so.
Yes. Well, I
did like
MPJ.
A full top, like, 50.
Yeah, maybe like MPJ, so, but yeah. In terms of his impact on the game. But I think MPJ is not going to look as good as some people think he's going to look on the Nets.
He's not. No, he's going to look.
No, no, I think he's going to look really good.
I'll say, because I started this list with him in my top 10, and just I kept thinking about it. He just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. So, yeah, he's out of it.
Y'all want to run through everybody's top 10?
Yeah, let's run through
again. I'll start us off at the top. Number one, contrary to everybody on this list, he's the only one. I'm the only one that has him listed number one. Kevin Durant.
Because of his position. If we counted him as small forward, he'd be the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, he'd be one if he was a small forward. But I have Kevin.
Canceled.
Yeah, man.
I have Kevin Durant at 1, Jalen Williams at 2, Kawhi Leonard at 3, Franz Wagner at 4, Amen Thompson at 5, Jaylen Brown at 6, Jimmy Butler at 7, Brandon Ingram at 8, Cooper Flagg at 9, and Asar Thompson at 10.
Finals MVP, Jaylen Brown at 1. Amen Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, Franz Wagner, Trey Murphy the 3rd, Cooper Flagg, Jimmy Butler the 2nd, Jalen Johnson, Jaden McDaniels, and Asar Thompson.
I have Jaylen Williams at 1, Franz Wagner at 2, Jaylen Brown at 3, Kawhi Leonard at 4, Jimmy Butler at 5, Trey Murphy at 6, Mikal Bridges at 7, OG Anunoby at 8, Lauri Markkanen at 9, and Brandon Miller at 10.
I have Amen Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, Franz Wagner, Jaylen Brown, Jimmy Butler, Brandon Ingram, OG Anunoby, Cooper Flagg, Trey Murphy, and Mikal Bridges. We definitely will be making some amendments to this list, though.
Yeah, I debated Cooper.
And we're gonna kick it over to our resident game show host.
Yes. All right. So today, I don't know if y'all saw what I put in the chat. Today we are drafting number 3 overall picks. We're making a team, give a starting 5 and a 6 man using only players who were drafted number 3 overall. I ain't like, no, you cannot cheat.
I can't put on.
Nah, bro. You can reference it though. You don't say.
Are we doing individual or table versus
table? Versus table. Table.
So okay. Yeah. On the say we don't have to draft 20.
Nah. I said you can.
I want to pull.
I hope y'all didn't look at.
Yeah, I did some Googles. Okay. I did do some quick Googles.
I'll let y'all call it heads or tails.
Tails never fails. It's the most important coin toss in the history of coin tosses, man. Oh, well, we will be taking Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
That's a layup.
Where do you want to go here?
Jabari Smith Jr. is available.
I do think the reason we lost last time is we didn't think about who to take when at the right time.
Reed Shepard.
Yeah.
Jabari.
Yeah, obviously.
I was thinking he probably makes the most sense. Matter of fact, we have to.
We're taking Harden.
Okay. So I'll take Harden.
I got the next one.
I would go because I think there's a drop-off from at this position for number 3 overall picks. Can I make the call?
Yeah, you got it.
We're going to go trust the process, Joel Embiid.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what you were thinking?
Yeah, I was going to say Embiid if they didn't.
I got Jordan Embiid. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Do you want to fortify that backcourt?
What name are you thinking?
Or the guy who was drafted the year before. Those are the two options I'm thinking of.
Nah, we gotta take Luka.
Okay, we're gonna take Luka Doncic.
Okay, that's
who I was debating.
That's what I was thinking. I was there's some good PGs and guards that have been drafted. I got one. I got another one. He's picked three of a very, very historic draft class.
Okay, yeah, I know. Go for it.
Jordan Brand athlete. We're gonna go Hoodie Mello and pick. Put him at small four. Oh, really? We'll go Mello as well.
You want to go with the guy who was right there the year before, Luka?
Yeah, let's go with Tatum.
All right, we're gonna take Tatum.
Okay.
I like Mello.
Hey, I like
Mello. Oh, and it's a good
Harden.
I got a four.
Luka.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have
a lot of people don't know he was third overall pick.
Front court.
Probably don't.
Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh yeah, go for it.
We will take Pau Gasol at power forward.
That's a good one.
We're kind of running low on bigs here.
Jabari Smith Jr. still on
the field.
They got JSJ.
Be serious, yeah, bro.
We're running low on bigs. I'm trying to.
Who's that? I know. He won the championship with them.
I don't know if there's a name better than that.
It's the troll.
Nah, I
it's the troll. Like, it's terrible.
Okay. I wouldn't hate.
Otto Porter Jr.
Is available. Otto Porter. NBA champion, Otto
Porter? Like out of fours, you could play at the four that we're missing.
Otto Porter Jr.?
Bro, you're not.
I want to say, gang, he's right there.
Not funny, man. Nah, gang.
You want to call the big man? We'll call Al Horford in at our five.
Okay.
We got options here.
So where we at? We got MJ
at the two. MB. MJ at the two, Melo at the three, Powell at the four, Embiid at the five. So we have a six-man slot, and we still have our point guard slot. So I know a guy who was picked three for point guard.
Jaylen Brown.
He actually, funny enough, he probably wouldn't be a horrible pick here.
After what y'all just said.
I history number two picks would be.
What are you thinking, like, smart or something?
Because there's a guy at point guard. I'm trying to remember, is there another, there's another point guard better than him that was picked three?
I'm not going to lie. You just reminded me of him.
Because he was super cold during a certain period of our lifetime.
Number three, I think.
And I want to say he
played for Charlotte,
not Charlotte, no, Utah.
Oh,
he was in best point guard in the world debate at some point. So
you know what?
I just
is there anyone better than him?
That's what I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think. Am I forgetting number three picks at point guard? That
Marcus Smart
wasn't he?
Marcus Smart was pick six.
No, he's pick six.
I'm gonna call it. We're gonna go Deron Williams.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, so we can. We can go for our six man here, or we
Gaul's not the six man. Gaul's not the six man because I think I know where you're going. This is gone. Get him.
I'm trying to look at somebody. I don't know which one of those two you like more. I have to Google it, but yeah.
Low key, I'm not gonna lie. We can low key table that and just get a center.
Okay, so did you want to take the guy? The other guy we talked about.
Yeah. Let's just double back and get Mobley.
Okay, that's fine. We'll take Evan Mobley.
Oh, I was.
That's fine.
That's what I wanted for our 6 minutes.
Let's say so. We'll
we had Powell and Embiid. So I was
on that. Six blood knee man. Six man.
I was no VS. Jaylen Brown.
There's a guy better than Jaylen Brown. I feel like I'm forgetting.
There's a lot of guys, but
I'm gonna say there's better. I feel like I'm just forgetting like '90s guys right now. That would just be better.
That's the problem.
I have a fun pick because I know he was a third overall pick. He got drafted by the Warriors, pick three. We believe Warriors.
Oh,
that'd be a fun pick. I don't know if he's the best guy to take in this slot.
They have a Luka Harden backcourt. We already won.
Yeah, this is our six man.
What? You're frying y'all. What are you talking about?
Who isn't frying y'all?
We have Evan Mobley.
We have Jordan.
We have Jordan.
Jordan.
Like Leah Gardner with Luka. Okay, hold on. Before we get into that, just pick him. That's fun.
Just a fun pick because I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. We're gonna go Baron Davis.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a good pick.
So who?
For a six man, I like it.
That's a good pick.
Okay, we have like Dominique Wilkins, Chauncey Penny.
Penny was picked. Penny was what I was debating on. I was like,
dude,
he forward.
I thought he was picked.
Nah, we're gonna take
Penny
Hardaway.
That's a good pick.
Okay, let's go Chris Webber.
All right,
so we have Deron Williams at the one,
Michael Jordan at the two,
we have Carmelo Anthony at the three.
Pau Gasol at the four.
Joel Embiid at the five.
And then Baron Davis.
Yeah, we fine. That shit.
Yeah, like, we're not scared. Harden at the... We'll put him at the two, I guess. We'll put Luke at the one.
Luke at the one, Harden at the two. Tatum at the three. Al Horford at the four. Evan Mobley at the five. And then we got Penny Hardaway off the bench. Six, man.
Yeah, we're frying.
You mean to tell me I can go Deron Williams, Joel Embiid, PNR, and I got Jordan?
flash back to, what was it, 2020? What was
Carmelo Anthony right there.
Anthony's on the wing.
What was the big that gave Joel Embiid so many problems? They had to trade for him, so he had to go big.
That is
Al Horford. Ooh. He did it to him. Do you know who Al Horford not giving any problem? Michael Jordan.
Bro, we're good.
Bro, your backcourt is...
It's getting fried.
Your backcourt is getting fried.
You have no POA. Dude,
you don't have a single...
Jason Tatum.
Is your POA?
We're putting Tatum on Jordan.
He's frying him.
Okay.
We're getting 50.
He's frying. Okay.
We're getting 50.
No. Pause. Tatum's on Jordan. Who's on Carmelo?
Carmelo?
We're getting 30.
Hold on.
Who's guarding Powell?
One of Mobley. Yeah, Mobley.
We putting Al Horford in a million pick and rolls. We put Al Horford in a million pick and rolls, bro. Good luck.
They just said they're not guarding Carmelo Anthony. Like about that average 30, dude. Like,
I ain't gonna lie, y'all. They have to guard James Harden.
Michael Jordan guards.
We have one
DPOY.
We have a DPOY.
We're getting 2019 Harden.
I ain't gonna lie. Who is Darren Williams guarding?
Bro, like, we got scrimped, though. Like, we just like. Nothing for real, bro.
Bro, y'all acting like Harden.
I'm funneling Darren you Williams. Into Embiid, into yeah. Jordan, and into Paul Gasol, dude. Like, what are we talking about?
I was gonna say, what's a better defensive front court? Embiid, Embiid and Powell or Mobley and Horford? Who are you taking as a defense?
Mobley and Horford.
Yeah, I'll say Horford already clapped Embiid before.
Bro, come on, bro.
I'll say real quick the names. I wrote down some names we did not say. We did not say Dominique Wilkins. We did not say Grant Hill.
That's a
bull. We didn't say Kevin McHale.
Oh, they gonna cook us for Kevin McHale. Grant Hill.
When I looked at her, I saw McHale, but I was like, I don't think I'd take him over Powell. That's why it kind of came down to me is I don't think I'd take McHale over Powell.
Hey, like, vote this team in the poll, guys.
Nah, we're
why he like? Why you gonna like juke the view? Like, what the heck?
Luka Harden.
Vote the team that you think is better, and if you don't think the team with Michael Jordan on it is better, then I don't know, gang.
Yeah.
Well, we will wrap it up there. Once again, thank you guys for coming out to the Right Read podcast. All of our links will be down below in the description. Make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, the whole nine yards on every single platform. We appreciate y'all once again for coming by and rocking with us for this hour plus. And this has been the Right Read podcast.